I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Today, let's make this an open buffet. Today, and maybe for the rest of this week, actually, let's just have a conversation between you and me. Bart's off for the week on a little vacay. Well-deserved, well-earned. And as we talked about yesterday, you know what he's doing today. A little family biz, helping to get the nephew, you know, back into public life. And see if we can get him on track. So we wish him the best. But you got me, I got you, we got each other, and we all we got, we all we need. And I just have this question as I was watching the national championship last night, and I'm happy for Danny Hurley. It's a great story, everything that kind of he's been through, and maybe a lot of us can relate to some of it. We always see people at their pinnacle, but what we sometimes miss is the climb. And we know, of course, it's the basketball Hurleys. We've known them for years. I mean, I was a kid at a basketball camp in Long Island where Bob Hurley, the coach, the late, great Bob Hurley, coach at St. Anthony in Jersey City, the former, he brought his sons, Bobby and Danny, to demonstrate drills. And I'd sit there looking at these two kids like, damn. Like, they were just machines, the two of them. And I just remember them all the way back then. And as the story goes, obviously, is, you know, Bobby went on to go to Duke, win championships, was, you know, really a great college player, had a good NBA career until, of course, the tragedy, the car accident. But Danny was the younger one, and you're like, you know, he went to Seton Hall, and he struggled. And there was a lot of stuff that he dealt with. So for him, it's really all about chasing the fact that he was never as good as his brother. And he always felt like as a coach, he had coached in high school a little bit, then he got himself into Wagner and got into college coaching and really has, you know, turned it into a great success, which has been culminated last night with a national championship for UConn. And it's just for, you know, for those of us who like stories, we like the story. This is a pretty good story. I mean, think about it. You'd think, oh, life was so easy for Danny Hurley. No, it wasn't. I mean, again, his father was a high school basketball coach. You know, they had to both. They worked every day on their games. They did have success that you saw on the surface. But for Danny, he was always chasing greatness, whether it was his brother, and then he became a coach, chasing the greatness of what his father, the legacy of his, again, his father's a great high school coach. Turned out a lot of great players out of that program. So for Danny Hurley, this was like, you know, you talk about one shining moment. This was his.
Yeah, I've had my own path, my own journey. Maybe I've probably done it to myself by being such an intense, fiery coach that people have always focused more on, you know, the sideline kind of antics than they have on, you know, my total body of work over the course of my career. There's not many coaches as successful as my teams were at St. Benedict's, you know, at Wagner in Rhode Island. So many coaches in the country that have won 25 games or more in three different programs and now have a national championship. So obviously there's a certain level of validation that's going to come from this.
And so he wins a national championship with UConn. And all right, so we take it the next step. Let's think about this. UConn wins another championship. So now they're on that list of, you know, five championships. They're on that list of programs that have stacked championships, and they've had a ton of success since 1999. So more recent. And when you think about it now, where do you put them in that all-time collection? So let's make a list. Because the phrase that is used in college basketball is blue blood. Now, it's mainly because a lot of the schools that win championships have blue in their color. But let's, instead of doing that, let's just look at, in general, the best programs, like when you think college basketball, when you think that term blue blood, it's the first program you think of. It's the first one that comes to mind. I mean, for me, it's got to be Duke. It's Duke and Coach K. Like, that's what it is. So let's start there. Now, well, you can hate Duke all you want, but you think Duke. Now, what the old heads who are going UCLA, 11 titles, man, they haven't won it forever. They've had success here and there. But when you talk about the best programs, the ones that just churn out championships, you know, I mean, you know, UCLA doesn't come to mind right away. So it's Duke. It's Kentucky, even though it's been a while for Kentucky. I get it. But you still think of Kentucky. Kansas, think of them. And obviously Carolina, you think of them. Came out so close last year. This year, very, very much disappointment. But do you think of UConn? I think you should. I think you have to. You know who else you got to think of a little bit? Villanova. You think of them. So as I say that, now we take it to the next step. I love the fact that Rick Pitino is with St. John's. We've talked all about how Rick Pitino coming to St. John's, it, you know, it creates, okay, now you've got yourself a marquee name, a coach. You've got a magnet now for a relatively dormant franchise, you know, dormant program, one that has history, lots of it, but its history is way back in history. So, all right, St. John's trying to be relevant again in the Big East, trying to be relevant again in college basketball, trying to be the team that we talk about when we get to March Madness, not the one we just stopped talking about because it's March Madness and they're not involved. And then you watch UConn celebrating last night and you look at the success that they have had. And whether it's Kevin Ollie or now Danny Hurley, you're now looking at it and saying, oh yeah, it's not just Jim Calhoun. It's a program. It's a draw. Talent wants to go to Storrs, Connecticut, no matter how far away it is. No matter how, I mean, it is. I mean, you think about where Storrs is. It's up in sort of the middle of nowhere in Connecticut. It's not near a big city, but it's a magnet. They can draw talent. Then you have Villanova, which is a little bit different. They are obviously in Philadelphia, and it's been an obvious draw. And they also. Now, with Jay Wright gone, we'll see if it continues to be a place where you just, you know, a pipeline of talent. That remains to be seen. But Jay's still involved somewhat, but still, right now you still have to consider Villanova the power that it always has been for the last, what, 15 years. How is Rick Pitino going to compete with these two teams? Never mind Marquette. Never mind, you know, what Ed Cooley's going to do at Georgetown if he can wake up that sleeping monster. Never mind, you know, these other teams in the conference. Providence has been very good, but it's because probably mostly because of Ed Cooley, who has moved on to Georgetown. But you see what I'm saying? Like, as much as I love Rick Pitino getting a headline guy, it's like Pat Riley going to the Knicks. You know, you just go out and get the biggest name and go get him. Put him in charge, and now hope he becomes that magnet. Starts drawing talent. People want to come to play for him, that he's got connections. He can get guys to come to play in Queens. Can he? Can they compete with UConn? In your own conference, you got teams that can win national championships. Think about that. That's not something you've said about St. John's in a very long time. Will we ever say it about St. John's again? Because that's essentially what you're trying to do. When you go out and get a guy like Rick Pitino, it ain't to just, you know, we just want our program to be competitive. It ain't about that. When you go out and get a guy like that, you're doing it because you think that he's got the ability to do what he did or he is able to do elsewhere, where he can put programs on the map. Compete for championships. That's what it's about. Previous stops, that's what he's been able to do. Even Iona, at the level they are. It's a great school. I love it up there. But again, like, to take what they were, and they've always, to be honest with you, Iona's always kind of been that, a really good mid-major. They have always been competitive. So he was, you know, he showed, I still got it. But does he still got it like that? Where you come to a place like St. John's, which has historically been a very difficult place to recruit. It's hard to keep your homegrown guys here. It's hard enough to keep them in high school. Your homegrown guys end up transferring out to prep schools and whatnot. They don't really stay here anymore. It's like the old days. The old Catholic League was loaded with talent. Guys would just stay. You don't really see that anymore. So you have a hard enough time keeping them in the high school level in New York City. Are you going to keep New York City's best players to play at St. John's? Where, yeah, there's some dorms they built. But it might take now in the era of the portal, get some guys to transfer in. It might take in the era of NIL for someone to put up a nice little penthouse, you know, apartment in the city. How easy is it to get from Manhattan to the St. John's campus? Not that easy. You would think it's like five boroughs. Oh, everything's a subway. Not really St. John's. Not that convenient. It's not a quick trip. It's not like I'll take, you know, jump on the LIRR in Jamaica. I'm at the Penn Station in no time. It's not really like that. So how difficult is it going to be for Rick Pitino to recruit to the level that he can compete with what we just watched UConn do in this tournament? They dominated the tournament. Dominated. That championship game last night. I mean, yeah, I know. San Diego State cut it to 5, and we thought maybe this thing's going to get interesting, and then bang, hits a 3. Sorry. That comeback you were hoping about, that's out. Yeah, like, how about this, too? You saw it on display last night. You had Kemba Walker there, past champ, right? You had Ray Allen. You had Emeka Okafor was there. Who else was there? Rip Hamilton, right? Look at the lineage of just great players that came out to watch another championship by the program that they came through. St. John's doesn't have that. There's a lot that has to be established right now. So it's going to take a moment. I don't know how long it's going to take. And again, how long does Rick Pitino have to build this thing, to be as competitive as they need to be with a UConn that is clearly back and not going anywhere? And I don't know what Villanova's going to be, but I know the last time, you know, they're still closer to being one of the great teams, one of the blue bloods, than they are not being that. So I was watching this thing, and I'm wondering if you were thinking the same thing I'm thinking. I'm really happy that Rick Pitino is going to inject some energy and life and some sizzle into a St. John's program that'll wake up a little bit of college basketball in this town. That St. John's going to play a lot of games at the Garden, like I told you when they hired. You're going to see that now. A lot more games at the Garden. That's great. Big stage stuff, big game feel. That's all awesome. But are they going to get to a point where you realize it still is not what UConn is? Because there's your standard. That's your standard. And oh, by the way, listen to Seth Greenberg. Seth Greenberg said it, and it's like you think UConn, the gold standard for the Big East, the gold standard for basketball in the Northeast, or is UConn the gold standard for basketball in this century?
They just set 5 national championships since 1999. 5 national championships. All this blue blood thing. In this generation, Connecticut has been the most dominant championship men's basketball program. They've done it with 3 different coaches. But this dude right here, he's going to be around for a while, and this will not be his last championship because he's not wired that way. It's just the way he's built. This is just the beginning in my gut feeling.
If you think about it, if it's just the beginning, that leads right into what I'm talking about when it comes to St. John's. When it comes to this conference, is you've got to get to that level. You've got to get to that level. Like, this isn't going to be a flash in the pan because we know UConn is not that flash in the pan. Now, San Diego State, that might be a flash in the pan. Now, we're aware of that. You know, they had a hell of a run. They had a bunch of guys that have been around. They've been playing college basketball for 5 years, some of them. Like, they, an older team, and they had a hell of a run. Tough. Made a big shot in the Final Four to get there. You know, it was a lot of drama. I mean, FAU, how'd they get there? You know, again, this was a different kind of tournament this year. You weren't seeing all the traditional brand names, but UConn you saw. UConn was the one brand name that endured. And they rolled through this tournament. Double-digit wins all the way across the board. They won this game 76-59. Wasn't really a game. And that's the standard that you have to get to if you're St. John's. So, as I look forward to it and I celebrate the idea of Rick Pitino of waking up St. John's. Last night was a little bit of cold water. Last night was a bit of reality of there's a lot of work ahead. If you really want to wake this thing up, because otherwise you're going to host games at MSG, which is great. St. John's belongs there. St. John games at MSG, I mean, that's tradition. That's just, there's something right about that. Back in the day, the Holiday Classic, all those things, like it was fun to go to those games, to watch college basketball at the Garden, knowing that one of the teams is local. It's cool. But if you're going there and it's like 75% Villanova fans, 75% UConn fans, it's not really a home game then. It doesn't have that same feel. We all know how the Garden gets. So I don't know. You tell me. Am I overthinking this? 800-919-3776. I look at it. I'm happy for Danny Hurley. I think it's great for UConn. I think it's really good for college basketball. It's just the idea that still the brand names are still, you know, the ones that come out on top. And that the way Danny did it, the way he built it there, all the things that you like to see when it comes to college basketball. But then I also saw it as, damn, is St. John's going to get to this? Are they going to be able to compete with this? A little more on Danny Hurley, just what it means, just winning this national championship.
I'm just mostly proud of the way that we've done it and with the type of people that we've done it, the way we recruit young players, develop young players. We do it without cheating. It's truly been building a program and a culture. I'm lucky I have the best coaching staff in the country that attracts these incredible, you know, types of players.
And that's exactly the point. You hear what he said there at the end. The type of program that attracts that level of player. St. John's hasn't been that program in a long time. Now, Pitino has the cachet. He has the connections. He has it all to be able to attract them. But you still have to get them to stay. Get them to want to be there. And that's always been the struggle, is the lack of a true campus. It's being in the city in the winter, which at times you're like, I don't want to be here. Now, again, up in Storrs, Connecticut, the campus is awesome. Ever been to UConn? They've put so much into that campus, built it up big time. But still, it's still, you know, northeastern Connecticut, it's basically North Connecticut in the winter. So it's cold. You know, it's not like you're not going to North Carolina, not Chapel Hill. So it's a lot different. It's not Kentucky. It's different. But if you know, I'm going to win a championship here, we're going to squad. Like that, you know, we got like our arena on campus is nice, and we can also play in a big arena that we know we'll play at the Garden a couple of times, that we know we're going to get a lot of national games, because that's what the brand of UConn has developed since Jim Calhoun. St. John's haven't developed it. Now they got a guy like Pitino that can get them there, but do they have enough to be able to deal with a UConn and even what Villanova's got to bring? And in Syracuse, the other sleeping giant, that with Boeheim gone now, what happens there? They've got a huge alumni. They come down this way. You're going to get a lot of their fans in the building. Now they, again, haven't really been a factor in the last couple of years as well, but we'll see what happens up there. So Pitino's got a lot of work in front of him. He knows it, but that's the takeaway I had last night, locally. My local takeaway from that game, as I'm watching, it was like, how the hell is St. John's going to compete with this? How are they going to be able to compete with this? 800-919-3776. Let's get some calls. Let's get part of the conversation. All right, Brock, start us off in Huntington. What's up, Brock?
How's it going, man? I'm doing good. Nice sunny day out here today.
Love it.
Very good. Now, I just wanted to chime in on this whole UConn and St. John's, and I think we're missing one of the points in this transitional time when it's mostly about NIL and money has become more available to these players.
Doubt.
I mean, I'm looking at the guys on UConn, kind of the guys who were just there, just watching the game, the alumni of the players. About 10 guys there, probably made over $1 billion in the NBA. And what we're talking about is those guys are going to be the guys that kick the money back in. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Connecticut might not be the sexiest place, but that's where the money's at. And I mean, if you're looking at guys that are going to be able to facilitate paying these players the way it looks like it's going to be, I mean, you got Kemba Walker, Rudy Gay, Ray Allen, Rip Hamilton, Okafor. We could go on forever and ever with this. I mean, that's big bucks. I mean, St. John's has some nice players in the past. I know Chris Mullin went there, and I'm a big-time Ron Artest guy, but let's be serious. I mean, the dough's just not going to be there unless they find it elsewhere.
Well, it's not necessarily Brock. By the way, great job just naming all those different names. Like I mentioned, at least four guys were there last night. Kemba was there last night. Ray Allen was there last night. Emeka Okafor was there last night. Charlie Villanueva was there last night. Okay, there's another one. You had Rip Hamilton, I believe, was there last night. Like, there was a lot of guys there last night that you named. But, you know, while they, I'm sure, do what they need, you know, they will give back to the program. You know, there's some people that have real money. Like, I mean, real, real money that are also contributing to these programs. St. John's has some people. And they do. And it's up to Pitino to get them to step up. Sean and Queens, Sean.
What's up, Hon? What's going on, baby?
You tell me. What do you got?
Listen, man, I grew up in Queens all my life, man. I'm 53 years old. I was just telling your guy who's answering the calls that said you got to have your ear to. I don't think you guys, meaning you sports media guys, got your ear to the streets, man. The AAU circuit, the EYBL circuit. I got two kids that play AAU ball. And, New York City ain't like it was, man.
Nope.
These kids want to go away. These kids want to go to the campuses. These kids, MSG was the selling point. Like I said, I'm 53 years old, so I grew up on Murdoch Avenue by Connell Park. I seen Mark Jackson. I seen Walter Berry. I seen Boo Harvey when he went to St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
These kids don't want to stay in New York. MSG is not a place where they excited to play in. You know why? Because they've been playing at MSG now since they were kids, man. MSG used to be the selling point. You come to St. John. Luke Konosecki said it out of his mouth. I remember him saying that. Luke Konosecki said, we play at MSG, the biggest mech in the world. MSG is not a selling point no more, brother.
But I'll tell you Sean, I'll tell you what. I don't know if this is a new thing because I can go back to when Kareem was Lou Alcindor at a Power Memorial, and he didn't want to stay in New York either because he went to UCLA on a visit, saw the weather, and was like, yeah, no, I'm out. Like, so this has been – it's always been a thing. I mean, you could go back. I mean, how many New York City point guards went to North Carolina? Kenny Smith?
How many guys left New York because the weather
was better somewhere else? So how about this, though? Sean. How is UConn still getting ballers? How are they still getting players and can win national championships when they're up in cold weather?
Because UConn is a night now franchise, is a right now school. Meaning that they seen Kemp, my youngest son is 19 years old, just coming out of the AU circuit about to get a scholarship. They seen Kemba play. They watch Ray Allen on Miami Heat go crazy with LeBron. These are these kids. These are not me and you, huh? These are not we going to stay because Mark went there.
Right.
We going to stay because Willie Glass went there. Rick Pitino is a great coach. He is. He said something earlier about Iona. You got to remember, yes, Iona was a pretty good team in that conference.
Right.
But look at the conference of schools that they're competing against.
I know.
So now you got kids. Rick Pitino was able to get the kids only because Iona is a second destination.
Right.
If a kid from New York or from anywhere couldn't get a big D1 scholarship and Iona's knocking on the door, yeah, I'm going to play for Iona.
Of course. Sean.
I'm going to play for Iona.
Now, Sean, I got to run. I appreciate the call. I mean, you're telling me a lot of things that I already know. I think a lot of us already know. I think that's literally what I was saying, is how is Pitino going to do this? When you look at what UConn has going for them, how are you going to compete with them? Villanova has going for them. And when Sean just said the right now school, that's my point. It's exactly my point, is you could show them we're winning right now. 5 titles in the last 24 years. How many times has St. John's been in the tournament in the last 24 years? So you have nothing really, no legacy to sell. We can prove we can get you there. It's the most important part of having a great program is to be able to prove what you can do. Yeah, look at it. Proof's in the pudding. Look what we do. That's why when you are in a mid-major and you get your at-large bid, that's a selling point when you're a mid-major, because you can just say, like, yeah, you know, we win a lot, we get to the tournament, and you want to be part of that. That's fun. But that's the secondary talent. At St. John's, you can't get secondary talent. You got to find the best and somehow convince them to start something new at St. John's, because you got nothing to fall back on. Chris in Pennsylvania. Chris.
Hey, how are we doing?
All right.
So I had a couple points as to why St. John's will be back. First of all, we did beat UConn by 11 this year away. Yeah. So the talent obviously is there.
Yeah, UConn had a rough patch in the middle of the year during the tournament play. So I'm with you. Yeah, they had an up and down year. Remember, they started unranked.
The talent's not, yeah. Also, the NIL deal, a few callers back, someone mentioned how UConn's got all these players that, you know, would donate. And while St. John's doesn't have that, they do have Mike Rapoli.
Yeah, Rapoli. And Rapoli, I believe, is jumping back into the mix because now he's happy with the direction of the program. That's going to be helpful, and we'll see.
There's a picture on Twitter of him and Rick Pitino just, I think, 5 days ago.
Yeah.
And their arms around each other.
It's big. That's
business about
huge.
St. John's basketball.
That's huge.
And then also, that's the biggest point. I mean, legacy is important, obviously, and St. John's doesn't have that right now. However, with NIL and that kind of transfer portal era, like, it's becoming a lot less significant. And then a final point would be Joel Soriano coming back for next year, who led the nation in double-doubles ahead of Zach Edey, which is no slight.
Yeah, of course. So. Yeah, no, again, it's all about the talent, keeping some. And you saw a lot of guys jumped into the portal knowing they're not going to be part of it. Thanks for the call, Chris. I appreciate the perspective. So, all right, I asked the question. How many, like, UConn has won 5 titles since 99, championship, national championships. And I just said, how many times has St. John's made the tournament since 99? You know what the number is? It's one more than UConn championship total. 6. 6 appearances. UConn's won 5 titles in that time. How are you going to compete?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Give you some numbers here before we get back to the calls. And we, because we talked about it, it's like you got to put a bow on this conversation. So we spent a little bit of time yesterday talking about the women's Final Four, the women's championship. And now, you know, a lot of times you talk about women's basketball, and I'm going to tell you, people feel like it's forced on you. And I don't think it's being forced on anybody anymore. You know, the eye rolls that I get from some people when I talk about it, I was like, look at them like, well, you're missing out. So here's what came out about the national championship. The Women's Final Four on Friday night, as I told you yesterday, drew 5.5 million viewers, which is pretty significant. But if I tell you that the championship game, LSU beating Iowa, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, all the drama, everything else, Kim Mulkey in her suits, just all of it, right? 9.9 million viewers. Let's round it up. Let's just say basically 10 million people watched the women's national championship game. And you can say, well, all right, put that in perspective. Let me do that for you. First of all, it's the highest viewed women's basketball game ever. It is the has 10 million viewers is more than any Major League Soccer game has ever had. How about this? This past year's Orange Bowl, this past year's Sugar Bowl, any Thursday night football game this past season, the NBA Finals in 2021, the World Series in 2020. And by the way, who won that World Series? That'd be the Dodgers, right? An LA team. And sadly, any Stanley Cup playoff game since 1973. Which, I mean, I can't imagine we had 10 million viewers in 1972. I'm just saying that they've been following this since 73, and it never had 10 million viewers. So don't tell me when we bring up women's college basketball, don't roll your eyes. Don't be like, they make you talk about that, don't they? Nah, man. And one of the coolest stories out of the championship weekend is not just the Angel Reese stuff, which, you know, we can talk about that. But how about the Jordan Hawkins, who's the guard for UConn? They're cousins. Imagine you and your cousin. How'd you do this weekend? Anything good in your family going on? Oh, yeah. Yeah, my niece, you know, my son and my niece, or my daughter and my nephew just won national championships on back-to-back nights. Listen to Hawkins talking about this. You know, Angel Reese became a huge name, obviously, for good and bad reasons. Became a huge name in the sport. And then the next night, he gets to celebrate a championship as well. They're both in Texas, two different cities, of course, Dallas, Houston, but still close enough to be in touch.
It's absolutely amazing showing that kids that were our age at the time, we were dreaming about the same thing. I mean, we saw that it's possible. So that is amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing that we both get this opportunity. I mean, the family reunion is going to be crazy, so that's all I know.
And bragging rights and whatnot. 800-919-3776 is the number. So, by the way, they're from the DMV. Of course, that's the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. So, you know, not New York based, but still champions. You got to love that. Anthony's in Queens. Anthony, what's up?
Alan.
Yeah.
How we doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. This is my first time calling in, and I felt it deep in my soul to call in a fellow 71 Gemini New Yorker.
Gotcha.
I'm correct, right?
Yes, you are. You got me.
So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that New Yorkers, for the last God knows however, we devalue our own city? I'm hearing you talk about why players don't want to come because it's cold, as if we've had more than 2 inches of snow for the last 15 years.
You forget,
right?
Last winter.
I'm here. No. You're forgetting. But anyway, that's not the point.
All right.
My thing is, when I hear conversation like that, it harkens back to several years ago, when some 7-foot guy who doesn't want to be 7 feet tall, who told New York City that it wasn't cool to be here. How did that work out for Brooklyn? You see what I'm saying? When you put the right
but
person
he went
in charge.
But he went to Brooklyn, though.
Yeah. Well, how did it work out
but
for
where's
them?
Brooklyn?
Exactly.
It's in New York.
In New York. But it's not like it's a separate thing. It's not like they're on an island by itself. No disrespect to Staten Island.
No, but I'm
it's
confused.
Not like they're somewhere
hang on.
Out there.
Anthony, I'm confused by where you're going with this, because you're talking about like disparaging New York. He said it wasn't cool to play for the Knicks. He didn't say it wasn't cool to play in New York. He wanted to play in New York.
On.
He chose Brooklyn, which is in New York.
But hold on. What, One of your last callers said that MSG wasn't cool.
I don't understand the caller. Like, he was trying to make a point about how high school kids, when they choose college, like, there's the draw to stay here is not there. And he was trying to tell me about how, you know, you can't sell playing at the Garden. That doesn't mean anything to them. That's all he was talking about. Local kids staying local. That was the point he was making, Anthony. I'm not sure if you quite understood the conversation. So I appreciate the call, and thanks for making this the first call. Don't make it your last. What I'm just saying is, for St. John's, this is going to be a challenge. And I think I'm being Captain Obvious. UConn has established itself as a brand. Let's remember a long time ago when Jim Calhoun took over at what was once called, not UConn, but Connecticut, that he took over there. They weren't a power. I mean, like it had to get started somewhere, and it started with him and slowly Billy. Who was that? They had one guy, big star, back in the day, the early days of the Big East. But it just started there, and then little by little, he was able to build it up into something. But it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't a brand, University of Connecticut. But it took time. In fact, you remember there was a time in the late 90s, before they won their championship in 99, where UConn was more of a women's power. Still is. Gino Auriemma. But that was always the case as well. Could the men's program ever catch up? But it did. And now it's established. St. John's was, at one time, a bigger draw than UConn. But not in the last 35 years. And so, how does Rick Pitino make up all that time? And can you do it in-house, or can you draw talent from outside, have them come in because they want to play here, and you sell Pitino, connections, the Garden, and obviously NIL has got to be a big part of it. Ruben in New Haven. Ruben.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
I got a couple things for you. Yep. So the whole NIL thing with UConn specifically, I don't know anybody else's program. I'm here in Connecticut. But Bobby Hurley's come out and on record and said they don't broker NIL deals for anybody. That's not to say they don't get NIL deals, but there is no
they don't sell them.
Of an NIL deal when you come to UConn.
They don't sell them, and that's what he feels proud about that. Danny, he feels proud about that, and he also feels proud about how they don't have to use the portal as a way to try to add talent, that he recruits them and they coach them up.
Absolutely, and I think the best players, the mid-level players, are looking for an NIL payday because you never know. But I think the best players, while they're interested in $2 million in NIL, they're interested in $200 million in the NBA. And that's what UConn and some of these blue blood programs. It's a pipeline to the NBA. Now, the whole thing about stores, I'm from Connecticut, and I hate going to stores. It's in the middle of nowhere. But
it's a long ride.
I mean, even getting to a game is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if your goal is the NBA, if your goal is to win, you've got nothing to do but work in a first-class, world-class facility and do nothing but play basketball. And that's a draw. That's why these lower-seeded UConn teams tend to make runs. They've got nothing else to do but hang out with each other. And really quick, really last, I hate to go off the script, but you were mentioning women's college sports. If you're a sports fan and you're not watching women's basketball, and to a lesser extent, women's softball, you are missing out on some just great action, great athletes, great plays. Get over your ego. Watch the girls. They're killing it.
I hear you, Ruben. Thank you. And I'll tell you why. I second that on softball. It's my favorite thing in the sport. I love watching college softball. It's great. But the ego, get over your ego. I don't know. Why would your ego get in the way of watching a really good competitive women's college basketball game? No reason to. I want to read this quote from Ray Allen. Now, he was the president last night as well. And this is what I think Ruben's talking about when it comes to UConn. And one day, you need to hear, somebody's got to say this about St. John's. Because this is always about how you build a program and then maintain a standard at a program. He said, we win here. We're going to continue to win here. We don't come here to exist. We come here to win. So that's why players go to programs. Because this is when you go there, it's like you expect to win. That's the expectation in certain places. Villanova has developed that. Duke always has that. North Carolina has that. Kentucky has that to a point. And right now, I don't know what they're going through lately, but they have the expectation. All their fan bases, I mean, they expect you to win. So when you choose to go to programs like this, you're not just choosing to go somewhere because it can get me to the next level. You choose to go there because we come here to win. I want to be part of winning. You got to get players like that, but you got to have a reason to draw them in. You came here to win, not just, it's D1, get a full scholarly, and I'll go on to the next level. And maybe if I'm good for like the first year, I can portal out of this and go to somewhere else. You don't want to be that stepping stone program. And that's something St. John's has to develop. They have the right guy in Rick Pitino. See if they can do it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
More than happy to share this. So I just love to see Michael K thrive. And the K-Rod cast is back again. And so you get it on Sunday Night Baseball. So we had it Sunday night. It was Rangers, Phillies. And it averaged just 1.311 million viewers for Sunday Night Baseball. Obviously, Sunday night, a lot going on, including the Women's National Championship, which drew, as I told you, 10 million viewers. But still, you had your baseball audience tuned in. And the K-Rod cast on ESPN2 took 15.7% of the average audience. Now, that's an alternative broadcast. The standard, I'm told, is 10%. You know, like Manning cast generally, like 10% of the audience you might take from the main broadcast. K-Rod got almost 16% of the audience. That's a good sign. Good for the guys. Now, look at the, I mean, again, you get some pretty good guests. It's a different conversation. You can still watch the game and get, you know, just chatter going on, like as if your friends are with you watching the game. That's the fun part of it. Don Cheadle, Meek Mill, Michael Rubin, like some of the guests that they had on the broadcast. So good job, Michael K. Absolutely. Love to see it. You'll love to see it. 800-919-3776 is the number. All right, we'll just put a bow on the college basketball conversation right now, and we'll head into some football. We'll get into some football. Yeah, we could talk Knicks. Plenty of Knicks to talk about. I mean, they're off. You know, they don't play again until tomorrow, so there's enough time for us to go in that direction. But I know a lot of people are always about, you know, chatting Knicks with me, so I'll do that with you. But, you know, we got some Jets. We got some Giants. NFL draft, as we are now, obviously in April, so we're just weeks away from the draft and what maybe could be some finality and closure on the Aaron Rodgers situation as well. So we'll get into that coming up next, because what the Jets do at 13 is a point of contention right now and discussion. We'll get into that. But first, let's get a few more calls in here, and we go to Bobby in Jersey next. Bobby, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Alan? Love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the women's basketball this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
and all of the hoopla that's surrounding it. I mean, it was a great, great game. My heart was pounding.
It was fun.
But I think everyone is kind of missing the – there's a bigger picture here. I mean, if you look back – let's say 79, when Bird and Magic played in that finals
yes.
game, you had a large part of the population that looked like Bird. You had a large part of the population that looked like Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that drew interest right off the bat.
It really is the beginning of March Madness as we know it today.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And look what happened with Bird and Magic in the 80s. In the NBA.
Carried the NBA, right?
A large part of the population looked like Bird.
Yep.
A large part of the population. If you understand where I'm going.
I know where you're – look, Bird versus Magic is a great book. It's also – they did the 30 for 30 on it, and it's – that was the underlying conversation throughout the whole thing, is that you had fans that rooted for one guy for one reason only and had nothing to do with basketball, or if you were a Celtics or a Lakers fan. We all know it. It's true.
But it's good. It's healthy. It's good. I mean, I want to root for someone that looks like me. I want, and I'm sure if someone is white, they will root for a person that's white. I mean, it's just human nature.
It is human nature. But I'll tell you what, Bobby, can we get away from that? But I know where you're going. You're saying that this is Angel Reese, who is African-American, and then Caitlin Clark, who's white, and they were going, you know, again, they had some beef. There was some trash talk going on and everything else, and you have a bit of a divide here. You have one faction of fans who people, viewers and analysts, who feel like what Angel did was unsportsmanlike and all that stuff.
No,
then you have another side that didn't feel that way at all.
Right, but forget about all of the antics. I'm looking at now, let's have some parity. Let's have some, I mean, I was shocked at the Iowa squad. They can really play. And there are a lot of girls out there that support Kalen, that look like Kalen, that can really play.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if there were some parity where you had white players that were drafted into the WNBA as well as black players. I mean,
well, you did,
just imagine the viewership. Imagine how many people will take into it. That's your answer to the WNBA's problem as far as people have an interest.
I get what you're saying, Bobby. I don't know if it's really hitting the mark because Sue Bird has been a superstar in women's basketball. He's white. I mean, yeah, that rivalry she has with Diana Taurasi, and they're actually friends, but it's like, you think about the talent that has come into the WNBA. It's just not enough money at this point. What you're hoping for is what you're seeing in the viewership numbers and the interest. Eventually, what the WNBA hopes for is that it just starts to roll into that. I mean, Paige Beckers was a big story 2 years ago, and she just has been injured since then for UConn. She was a huge story. Talented player. So there's a lot of that you see already in women's college basketball. It's just this has taken it to a whole nother level.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.